If I could just begin with a notice for this Sunday, the Zoom service will be at 12 noon. Please note that change of time, 12 noon, and that will be the time for many weeks to come. The churches in Greece are closed again for the next few weeks. So this sermon was preached on the 14th of February 2021 in Athens. And the principal readings are 2 Corinthians 4, 3-6, and Mark 9, 2-9. Masks have always been an inspiration for literature, film and stage. Jim Carrey starred in the 1994 film simply called The Mask. Michael Crawford made the half-mask memorable in the Andrew Lloyd Webber stage production of Phantom. In the 1840s, Alexandre Dumas wrote his novel about an enigmatic French aristocrat called Man in an Iron Mask. The list goes on, and we will all be able to think of examples. One of my favourite authors on themes of classical history is Mary Renault. Her novel, The Mask of Apollo, is set in the 4th century BC. The principal character of her historical novel is Nikaratos, an actor in Greek tragedies who tours with a travelling acting company. Renault offers great insights into the life of a stage actor. Ancient Greece was famous for its theatre productions. They were normally linked in some way to religious festivals, and the touring groups of actors would move from city to city to coincide with celebrations of the local patron god. In Greek theatre productions, the acting group was small in number, maybe three maximum. There would be the principal actor, the protagonist, a second actor, the deuteragonist, and possibly a tritoagonist. Each would play several roles and would be enabled to do so by wearing different masks. For principal characters, the mask was always very stylized and identifiable. Each actor would change mask on stage, as it were at the skene, the scene, and it was considered shameful if the real face of the actor was revealed during the changing of the mask. The word used for mask is prosopion, a derivative from the Greek word prosopon, meaning a face or countenance. This word is still in use today when a modern Greek refers to the face, prosopo, but it can also mean a person. In a cast list for a play, we might be well accustomed to the heading dramatis personae. In classical Greek theatre, the word would be proposon, with this rather double meaning of both person and face, because the mask identifies the character. In the city of Corinth, Paul the Apostle compares the Old Covenant, chiselled on tablets of stone, with the freedom that comes through the gift of the Holy Spirit, the sign and the seal of a new covenant. He contrasts Moses with Christ, the one trembling on the mountaintop receiving the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments, having to veil his face in order to approach the glory of God, the other removing the veil, so that we can gaze on the glory of God. Developing this in his letter, Paul picks up on a number of themes, including Christ in creation, Christ as image or icon of God, which we thought about last week from the letter to the Colossians, and the covenantal relationships with God, Moses, and Christ, but also the light shining in the darkness. Remember last week we noticed the connections Paul made with John chapter 1, even though he could never have read it, as it hadn't yet been written. Then, rather victoriously, Paul says in the letter to the Corinthians, "For it is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." And then, here it is, Paul's punchline, "In the face of Jesus Christ." In this great cosmopolitan city of the classical world, with its port, its hippodrome, its temples, an acropolis, of course, all of its own, and of course a theatre, Paul mentions this word, prosopon, face. Paul is a master at making connections between his newfound faith and the culture in which he seeks to share it. Okay, so it is the normal word for face or for person, but it is the impact of Paul's use of words that matters. Paul immediately takes his audience into the world and culture of the theatre of God's drama, God's action in Jesus. But for Paul, this drama is no performance. The skene, the backdrop, is real, challenging, and powerful. For Paul had become utterly involved in the drama to the point of conversion. In the face of Christ, he sees a new reality, a new world, a new creation. Nor is the face of Jesus Christ a comedic or tragic mask that can be changed according to character. Rather, there is but one plot, one story, a protagonist, and the story of our salvation in the cross. This truth for Paul changes his whole understanding of God, thus his theology. But for Paul, the new theology also brings a new anthropology. The prosopon is not just a face, it is person. And so for Paul, a whole new understanding of what it is to be human, to be a person, is radically altered in the shape of Christ. This radical shift is narrated to us in today's Gospel reading. It's St. Mark's version of an event that happened probably on Mount Tabor, namely the metamorphosis, the transfiguration of Jesus. In the Matthew and Luke versions of this event, we're specifically told that the face, the prosopon of Jesus, is changed. It shone like the sun, and his whole appearance is dazzling. This is the New Testament's equivalent of Moses on Mount Sinai, revealing the commandments. But in place of stone tablets, we have the Jesus Word of God being revealed to eyes that are able to gaze upon him. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here. Thy glory fills the night. Thy face and garments like the sun shine with unborrowed light. Thus runs the well-known Transfiguration hymn. Paul's theology and his understanding of the person made in the image of Christ synthesizes in the real-life experience he has of the face of Christ, face and person. Humanity itself is transfigured in Christ. You and I become a new creation in Christ, and our ethical relationship, one with the other, becomes founded not on observing a set of rules, but in the human regard for the sanctity of self and the sanctity of others. It is binding on Paul, and it is binding on us. It is, of course, a foundation of faith, hope, and love. But we know what the greatest of the three is. Today is not only St. Valentine's Day, so big red hearts to everyone, but also Racial Justice Sunday. There have been some very high-profile racial justice incidents in recent months and years, crystallized perhaps in the Black Lives Matter movement. And this movement has justice on its side. But the pernicious influence of racism occurs in all manner of situations, sometimes deliberate on the part of those who are proud to be racist, right through to on the spectrum to those who try hard not to be racist and actively work for behaviour, attitudes and policies to be non-racist. But perhaps the most pernicious of all is when we are not even conscious that we are being racist. Let's say clearly, this is not just a matter of colour, It is a matter of being humbled in the presence of the sacredness of human life. Our faith is colorblind, and Christianity has no ethnicity. Another great insight of Paul: there is neither Jew nor Greek, only unity in Christ, as we gaze together on the face of the transfigured Jesus. In the 1860s, a German archaeologist was working on excavations at Mycenae in Argos, in the northeast Peloponnese. It's a site famous for its tombs. In grave circle A, grave 5, he discovered something rather wonderful. It was the grave, Heinrich Schliemann, the archaeologist, asserted at the time, of King Agamemnon, from around 1600 BC. Agamemnon was brother of Menelaus, whose wife was the famous Helen, who ran off with Paris back to Troy. Agamemnon led the expedition of Greek forces against King Priam's city of Troy, but he was also a bitter enemy of his fellow Greek, Achilles, king of the Myrmidons, better known to all of us, of course, as Brad Pitt. As the tomb was excavated, they found a body whose face was covered in a gold funerary mask. The mask is now in the National Archaeological Museum of Athens. As the golden mask was removed, Schliemann was famously reported to have said in a letter to the German king, "I have gazed upon the face of Agamemnon." In fact, it's later refuted that he said it, but the words have become rather synonymous with the man. As we reflect yet further on Paul's wonderful discovery in Christ in his life in the first century AD, we ourselves in 2021 are equally directed to reconsider our response to the prosopon, the face, the person of Jesus Christ. As we look to each other, sisters and brothers, can any of us truly say, "I have gazed upon the face of Jesus Christ"? Amen.